Yesterday we completed a very beautiful 14th chapter of Jayadrama. That is the second of the second evidence of Jayadrama Shiksha, who can truth that were established and taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all the holy achievers. So up until yesterday we discussed Shakti Tattva, the established philosophical truth of the Dharma, which states that Krishna is the source of unlimited inconceivable power. And now, today, we're starting chapter 15. 15, 16, and 17 are all about Jiva Tattva. Who I am, how and why I came to this world, and how I can be free. So as you remember yesterday, at Shiva Sangam. So Raghunatha Swami, the spiritual master of Raghunatha, told him to go home. He went home, and as his champion was finding that day by day, his mood was changing. He was making less interest in material affairs, household affairs, and he was wrapped in his own thoughts of Vaishnava philosophy. So they began planning how to marry him to keep him in his family. But he was oblivious to this and was just absorbed in his guru's teaching. So the next day, he went back to Shiva Sangam earlier than usual, and there he saw that many Vaishnavas from Gokul, Shiva Sangam was in Antipu, and then in the island of Gokul. Most of the previous chapters of Jaya Brahma were spoken by Premdasa Babaji and then his disciple Vaishnava in Gokul. Now all these great glories have come to Shiva Sangam. He's thinking, he becomes in so much ecstasy just seeing them, and it's a great honor to have their association. And they, in turn, see this very humble and hungry nature, and they give him all their blessings. Then Raghunatha began to speak to his spiritual master. And he said, "I'm just overwhelmed by the beautiful philosophy that you told me yesterday. And now I want you to know, I want you to realize, not just know theoretically, who I am as a person. Not who I am regarding the body or the person I am, but who I really am. I've established the wisdom of the truth. And why did I come to this world? How did I come here?" So the spiritual master, Raghunatha Swami, became an ecstasy to hear that question. And he said, "What a wonderful question that you've asked. The day that the Jiva asked this question is the day that his life begins to become perfect." Throughout this chapter, Raghunatha is asking many questions that he learned from the previous teachers. And these are the same focused mind-body philosophy that Srila Prabhupada used to critique right from the beginning when he was first meeting all the devotees at 26 Second Avenue. So he said, Raghunatha Swami said, that if you want to know the answer to this question, then you should hear the fifth sloka of Dhammapada. What is the fifth sloka of Dhammapada? There are two kinds of jivas, the liberated jiva and the conditioned. Then next, the conditioned jiva is covered by Maya, and the other kind of jiva is liberated by the Maya. So he begins by reciting the slope of the sixth principle of Dhamma. Just as many tiny sparks burst out from a blazing fire, so the innumerable jivas are like atomic spiritual particles in the rays of the spiritual sun. So these jivas are not different from Sri Hari. They are also eternally different from him. The eternal difference between jiva and Ishvara is that the Ishvara, the supreme control of the Supreme Lord, is the master of Maya, whereas the Jivas sometimes fall under the control of Maya because of their minute, infinitesimal nature. Even in the liberated so-called state, the Jiva has the capacity to fall under the nature, under the influence of Maya Shakti. So this is a very important aspect, even in a liberated state. This is misunderstood to me, that even if one becomes pure devotees, he can again fall down into Maya. Or that the living entities were originally controlled by Vrindavan in a liberated state, and they fell into the material world because of some influence of Maya. This is not what it means, and that will be more clearly elucidated as the chapter continues. Then Ratanatha tells us he's so overwhelmed, but we say, oh, we are not the body. Well, we teach all the Vrindavan. But when the real disciple hears, he said, oh, I'm overwhelmed by this unprecedented Siddhanta. I know that whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said is the truth, but can you also give me some basic evidence to substantiate this slogan? So then Mahaprabhu said, there's so many basic slogans. Substantiated, and he begins quoting one after the other, so I'll also quote those slogans. One is from Srihad Arayaka Upanishad, the state. Innumerable jivas emanate from Hara Brahma, just like tiny sparks from a fire. And then a very interesting longer quote from the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. There are two positions about which the Jiva Guru should inquire. The inanimate material world and the spiritual world. The Jiva is situated in the third position, which is a dreamlike position called Vasana Dhan. Dhan means situation or place. And Svapna means dream. We're in a dream place. That's the third position. Neither are we material, nor are we in the spiritual world. And he's in the juncture. Being situated at the place of stuff where the two worlds meet, Tathasta. He sees both the inert material world and the conscious, transcendental spiritual world. He can look and see both ways because he's right in the middle. Now we have one more quote, and this is from also Srihad Arayaka Upanishad. Just as a big fish in a river sometimes goes to the eastern bank and sometimes goes to the western bank, so the jiva also moves to the side. Between dream state, that's that third position, and wakefulness. And in the material world, it's total dream. When Kamsa was just about to deal with her husband Vasudev, said, why are you so afraid of death? Because he had been very young, that her eighth child was killed. Why are you so afraid of death? Why are you so attached? It is material life. This material body is just like the body that we have in dreams. Like the phone, you're thinking during the day about the cold, and you're thinking during the day about the mountain, or you see a mountain, and you see gold, and then at night you dream about a golden mountain. Just a mental conception. Or sometimes you can, in total forgetfulness of your lying down body, you imagine yourself flying to the sky. So these bodies are just mental concoctions for imagination. So the meaning of this verse, that the fish go out to the eastern side and the western side, does not mean that the jiva goes to Goloka Vrindavan and then comes back and then goes again and then comes back. That's not the meaning. Meaning that he looks toward the outer life. When he goes to the spiritual world, he's there forever. Unless he comes on a mission of the Lord or in order of the creature. And once he decides to come and cut his stuff on region, or that third position, the marginal area, the imaginary line. Once he comes to the material human world, then he has to perform sadhana in the direction of guru and get out. So once he's out, he comes back. Therefore, Lord Brahma and the Brahma Tantra say, Supreme Lord cannot be understood through the Vedas, through one whole meaning of the Vedas. They say she knows it's very difficult to understand it through Vedic right or reading. They say she drew the bum, I drew the bum, I drew the bum, so. But by the mercy of the devotees, the Lord can be understood. Now, brothers and sisters, what actually is the meaning of the sutta? You've never heard this before. So then Dr. Mahasaya explains, the phrase in the ocean and the land has called sutta, which means the shore. But actually, the phrase that comes into the ocean is nothing but land, it's not a separate thing. But still, not the whole land is covered by the water, it's one little place. So the spiritual world is one life, it's one little place. In between the spiritual world and the material world, it gets covered by the Maya. The marginal tattva is the distinction separating the ocean from the land. It's a subtle line. That means it really doesn't exist as a place. There's really no place called the tattva like the place here. There's no real place. Because the jiva is also a manifestation of chit shakti, which means chit, conscious. And everything is coming from that one potency, chit shakti, or guru shakti. But for understanding, clear understanding, it's said that he's not manifesting from the not created by the specified chit shakti. Because it's only in Vishnu Siddha, Parikrama of the Lord, the Sotas of the Lord, the incarnation of the Lord, are manifestations of the three Chit Shakti, whereas the Jiva, being infinitesimal, is manifested from an incomplete Shakti called the Tattva Shakti, which is the minute atomic part of the Chit Shakti. So it can be said that it's not created by two justice at the same time. There's no matter to that. So it's coming from two justice. And that's actually the Next question. A brother, what did you say? Then brother, is there any material component in the Jiva's belief, in the Jiva's constitution? Anything material within the Jiva itself? So here we're going to be saying no. The Jiva created strong Shakti. And yet it emphasizes again and again that at the same time it is not a manifestation of Chit Shakti, because Chit Shakti is a complete Shakti, and only a complete entity. This is the story of an incarnation of the paraphernalia of the spiritual world is coming from there. It is a manifestation of Chit Shakti. So although we still be coming from Chit Shakti, because we are become part of Chit Shakti, at the same time we can be confused by Maya. And there's no Maya getting Chit Shakti in the spiritual world. Therefore, it's also said that it's not manifesting there. It manifests in a third place where the nature of the tough of nature is that we can look to both sides. Those who are manifest in Chit Shakti, that is an interested in what part of God, they have no idea what is life. They can't imagine. But because the Jiva is in the middle and can see both sides and can turn one way and draw it that way and turn one way and drag it that way. Therefore, the nature is called the Tattva Guru. Because he's minded by nature and he lacks spiritual power, therefore he can become undivided. The only way that he can become free from that propensity to come undivided is when he takes full shelter of Padmini Shakti or Chit Shakti. He has the strength by the shelter of Chit Shakti, who is himself, ultimately himself, Srimati Radhika. Then there's no question of Maya anymore. Now he is referencing the strange philosophy that he had heard from his previous teachers. And Prabhupada had to do with all the people who came to Prabhupada's first temple in 26 Second Avenue would ask this exact same question. Said, I heard from my teacher that Chit Brahma, or the spiritual absolute truth, becomes the Jiva when he is covered by Maya. This is the thinking, the philosophy, that God can become passive, covered by Maya. And when he's covered by Maya, then he becomes the Jiva, he's called the Jiva. And the analogy is given that you have a whole body of your thinking. So many people are coming up, this is the kind of second thing to ask here. See if we can erase that. There's a whole specific, a whole lot of space. Now you take a jump and you go in the outer space. And you got some of the space inside the jump. That jump is the Jiva. And when the jump is broken, or when the Jiva realizes that it is not who he really is, and you get that Maya, then he becomes one with the whole space again. So brother, not the same about the sky. So the Jiva is originally from that one absolute truth. But when Brahma is covered by Maya, the false ego of Brahma thinking that I am Jiva develops. We then listen So Baba Maharaj addressed me not, this is supposed to be my body philosophy. In the Krishna book, in the chapter called The Prayer of the Personified Vedas, the Personified Vedas are saying that if this were true, if we're all that one Brahma, but now that I'm in my mind, and therefore I'm thinking I'm me, she's thinking I'm her, and we're all thinking that there is so many individuals, but really we're not individual, which is one. If that was the case, then the first person became liberated, then everybody was liberated. So in answer to the question, he says, how can Maya touch Brahma? First of all, the Mayavadi say that Brahma is without Shakti, that Shakti is just an aspect. We say that Shakti has infinite, inconceivable power, but our Shakti, Vaishnava Shakti. And our love is also Shakti Paramat, Shakti, Shakti Parinamba, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu philosophy. That is, God Himself doesn't transfer to other things, the body doesn't transfer to other things. The other Vaishnava philosophy would say that, the other Sampradaya, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, Shakti Parinamba, that is, this Shakti transform, as we've been reading in the previous chapter, chapter 14, this Swarup Shakti transforms into Adini Shakti, this Sampra Shakti, Adini Shakti on one side, and the internal potency, the marginal potency, the external potency on the other side. So, Bhagavad Gita is saying the opposite of that, that the Maya mother, there is no Shakti. Maya is Shakti, how does Maya mother Brahma? In any way, Maya is insignificant. God is supposed to be great. So how does this particular insane have a great thing? Maya is not possible to put Brahma into a visible condition. The other day I mentioned that Prabhupada wants to tell us at 26 Second Avenue, my heart is saying that I'm God, but then you ask them, well, how you ever moved off, and you suffer. Oh, this is my Buddha. So you may be that God and then that Buddha, but we're interested in worshiping that God who doesn't have that kind of Buddha. So rather, we accept Parashakti, the transcendental power of God. Besides that, Brahma is indivisible. He can't be divided. So now he's saying that he's covered by Maya and becomes another thing. He becomes divided and deceiver. Then he's not one. He can be divided. Now we ask another question. From another teacher, I've heard that the jiva is nothing but a reflection of Brahma. Just like we have the whole sun and it's reflected in water. That reflected Brahma, or unlimited one without a second absolute truth, reflected in the material world, is called or we just reflect that in our prayer. It's called jiva. Where it comes? Oh, reflected in Maya. Even though the Maya might say that there's no sense in our other higher self. And that when he himself is reflected in that Maya, he becomes the jiva. So Bhagavad Gita Maharaj says again, this is the goal of Maya Vajra Vajra. Brahma helps hasn't even been reflected in full. The idea of limiting him is opposed to the conclusions of the Vedas. So this theory of reflection has to be rejected. Let me ask you one more. One big wandering pundit scholar who's called the Sidney Jai. Sidney Jai means he goes around and teaches everybody. He said that in reality there is no substance called jiva. One thinks himself to be a jiva only in illusion. And when the illusion is removed, then in reality we see that we are only that same indivisible Brahma or absolute truth. So Bhagavan emphasizes again, this has no foundation. According to Shastra, Ekam, Eva, Vidyam, Ekam, Eva, Vidyam. There's nothing apart from Brahma. So if there's nothing apart from Brahma, then where does the illusion come from? There shouldn't be any illusion. And who's in the illusion? Are you saying that Brahma is not actually Brahma? That's what you're actually saying. That if Brahma is in illusion, then he's really insignificant. How can he be the absolute truth? And I suppose that illusion is separate from Brahma and has an independent existence, then in negating the oneness of Brahma. So they just tear their own philosophy apart in every corner. Now we've got another idea, heard of that. One, there was a Brahmin pundit who arrived in Madhuri, and he came to a big conference of intellectuals. And he established that only the jiva existed. Before it was established that there was no jiva, that jiva was Brahma in Maya, that the jiva was Maya. If you have a 3 hours of faith, then you go, that jiva is jiva. That only Jiva exists. His theory was that the Jiva created the whole conception. Everything is in his mind. And because of this, he enjoyed happiness and stress, all by the creation of his mind. And really there's nothing except him. Back in 1966, at 26 Second Avenue, somebody had a notified at the end of the class. So when our dream is over, then we have no existence. When we become so realized, then we have no existence anymore. So Prabhupada said, when the person wakes up from dream, he has no existence? No, where is the real existence? So when the dream breaks, then you see that there's nothing but Brahma. So is this true? This right? Again, Maya Brahma. If, as they say, Maya Brahma is undifferentiated, it's impersonal, then how is it possible to produce the jiva and the dream of the jiva, that you already have the dream? Gurudev sometimes in the West gives classes about blessed to defeat my archaeology. And he said, even if you have the word one in three letters, and even one line over the Son of God, so then he said, that my advice, give it the example of the oyster shell appears to be gold, but it's not. Or a rope appears to be a snake, but it's not. So it's true that a rope is not a snake, but it's not nothing. It's a rope. It's true that the oyster shell is not gold, but it's not nothing. It's an oyster shell. So when it's being phrased, then the reality of the jiva as an individual person becomes manifest. So then very much says, okay, so Maya has nothing whatever to do with the creation of the jiva. I understand it. So now I want to know. I understand that there's no influence of Maya within the constitution of the Jew, coming from outside. So what I want to know is, did Shiv Shakti create the Jesus with their disgusted Kobab or their Maya nature? And here there's no contradiction, because no material language, no material word can express something beyond matter. We're forced to use material words, but that's all we have. Even if we're using Sanskrit, which is the most perfect language, or Bengali, Mexican Sanskrit, or Mexican perfect, or Hindi, so much more deep than shallow English language. Still, no language in this world can explain in any term what is the world beyond matter. And thus it is called, anything that we try to explain is nothing but an implication. And what is the world beyond matter? What is the logic called? You know, the moon on the ground. Sakta Chandra Nyaya, or the Nyaya, the logic of the moon on the branch. If a kid says to his mother, Mother, where is the moon? And the mother says, oh, look, it's there, sitting on the branch. Actually, the moon is so far away. It's even further away than we learned from the Vedic literature. It's further away than the sun. Isn't that amazing? All the time before we learned that it was our moon. And the sun is further away. But the moon is actually bigger than the sun and further away from us than the sun. But just to give the child an indication, there it is over there hanging on the branch. So generally all these words that we're getting, here is that there is indication, therefore, Bhagavad Gita is saying, the jiva comes from Shiv Shakti. No, the jiva was not created by Shiv Shakti. We have to see in the context how it applies. Does that make sense? Sure, it's not a use to the lesson. One of the first things, anybody would say, maybe you know, is the understanding of the other person. That we have to use material language. So within the language, according to the question that was asked, Babaji Mahasaya says the jiva does come from Shiv Shakti in the sense that it is no Maya that it comes from the material world. It's not produced by Maya, it's not Maya in it. It's shift. So it comes from Chit-Shakti. The Sarva-Shakti is the common portion of the Chit-Shakti. And then according to the other question, that the Vitakta Svabhava, the heart and nature of the living entity, was that created by Chit-Shakti? No. The Chit-Shakti expansion is the complete Shakti of Krishna, and the living entity is the incomplete Shakti. Coming from the living entity is incomplete, infinitesimal, and is manifested from the incomplete Shakti to the Tattva Shakti. There are three Shaktis, Chit-Shakti, Jiva-Shakti, Tattva Shakti, and Maya-Shakti. But they were all nothing but aspects of the same total Shakti. So according to the question, according to the context, the answer seems tempting, but it's not. But the only way we can understand it is by going out. It's an aspect of Chit-Shakti. Because the Jiva is composed of the Tattva Shakti. The Tattva Shakti manifests the Jiva. The Tattva Shakti is the Jiva Shakti. What? The Tattva Shakti is coming from Chit-Shakti. Maya Shakti is coming from Chit-Shakti. Anjurama Shakti, the material potency, is coming from Chit-Shakti. There's only one Shakti. Maya Shakti is also Swaroop Shakti. But that aspect of Swaroop Shakti that's called Maya, inert matter, right? Another function, pretty function of Swaroop Shakti. That function of Swaroop Shakti, which puts the Jiva in illusion, is called Maya Shakti, the interior energy, inert. And the Swaroop Shakti is totally conscious and accept. So according to the context, you say yes and you say no. As it becomes gradually clearer and clearer over the days and over the years and over the life and over the transformation consciousness has us. When I was first hearing this from Gurudev in 1992, about how the Jiva, the word when the Jiva was created, that was before the material world. So Gurudev said there's no real when in terms of material time. He said, but you cannot understand any of this as long as you think you're a baby or a lad. Man, lower, mother, yes, we have to make material words saying the chit chakra manifests all the bodies, the Sunday potency manifests all the bodies of all the associates of Krishna, including Radharani and Krishna himself. So, but at the same time, there's no question of manifestation. And at the same time, Krishna manifests the Shakti. So, gradually and again.
Still 5 to 7.
Hmm?
Still 5 minutes. It's starting.
When I told Gurudev, when I first heard that message, in 1992, one of my very first few meetings, I said, I understand philosophy intellectually, and I travel around the world for speech on behalf of our Srila Prabhupada, but I have no experience of what I'm saying. So I thought he was okay. Intellectual understanding is not everything. But instead, he said, intellectual understanding is no understanding. But still, something is better than stuff. It's an education. No, not again. You start now? So, go up and then leave the school. And she'll go up and the window and the letter is more and next. More and next. She'll go up and down.